Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though folks search for paperclip to straighten out, to reset their routers every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, this is Battleborn Tech on FM 95.1 Carson City and streaming live on knvc.org. Opinions on Battleborn Tech flow from the experience and education of Christy, Joe, and our callers. They are not from the pool of knowledge at KNVC nor Computer Corps, which have their own sources to the fount of knowledge. Hey, this is a call-in show. Having trouble seeing the tech through all the trouble? Call anytime at 775-241-3571. That's 775-241-3571. And we'll open Windows, root out Linux, and ID Apple. That's 775-241-3571 anytime.
That's right, because if you call anytime, you can leave a message, and one of our helpful operators will call you right back when, well, if it's 3 a.m, maybe not. But they'll call you back, and you can get the help you need, and we'll put it on the air later, and it all works beautifully. So, Christy, we've got 3 phone calls today. We got a little bit of time to talk about fun stuff as well. And I think we probably are just going to start right out of the gate with a phone call here. This is Wallace. And what did he want to talk about?
He was got an old computer given to him and is wondering how to keep it running.
Oh, yes. Yard sale computers. You never quite know what you're going to get with those.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, yeah, my name is Wallace, and I got the...
Hey, Wallace.
I was out doing the... Hi there. I was out doing the garage sale thing the other day, and a guy basically gave me it doesn't look that old, HP desktop box. I can't even remember the name.
Okay.
But he said it works, and he said it does Windows 10, so I thought, well, shoot, that's what I know, that's what I use. Before I invest in the thing, you know, I got it and I can hook it up and everything, but before I waste a lot of time, can you tell me, if I take the case off and look at the thing, is there any way I can get some kind of indicator for how long the thing is going to last or if it's even healthy right now? I just want to, before I invest a bunch of money in it, I'm thinking I probably should figure out how long the thing is going to be with us.
Oh, well, it's hard to tell from a visual inspection. One of the things you do, if you do take the case off, it certainly probably needs cleaning. So if you have there are professional kind of things that blow air and clean out the dust from them all. You want to get inside that power supply, definitely.
Yeah.
And the CPU fan. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to clean that up. If it's a smoker, you may be in for some alcohol and Q-tip or cotton swabs there. But you definitely want to do that. That would definitely preserve the life of your computer if you get that dust off, keep that heat down, and get it cleaned up. The older computers used to have what's called capacitors, which are like little tiny batteries. And they look like little tiny batteries. They're little tiny cylinders. And you can expect those, the old computers, we had a huge run of really bad capacitors. So if they're bulging at the top, or leaking, even worse, you're probably much done. You're probably much on the countdown clock for it to die. Most of those have moved on out. If it's incredibly old, that's something to check. Check to see that there's no bulging on the tops of those little tubes that are hooked into the main board of the computer, and clean it out. And that's another thing. Also, if it's been run around in the back of a pickup truck or kicked around the garage for a few years, you may want to take out the carefully flip the ends of the memory sticks, pull it out, and then push the memory back in. Make sure, or just push on the memory sticks and the video cards or any cards there. Make sure they're seated properly. Because if they're loose, they could sort of give you no performance, or it could break. I don't know what else to tell you about just looking at something about how long. Yeah.
So it would be cleaning capacitors and
checking the capacitor. Not much you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. And reseating or just making sure any pop out part is well seated in its
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You want to make sure that cleaning is probably going to be your most important thing. If that is already one running Windows 10, what do you want to do? There is an option to reinstall Windows 10, from the computer itself. And that's probably what you do when you get a, hand-me-down computer. That way it gets rid of all the data and it gets rid of all the, who knows what's on there, and you get a fresh new Windows 10 installation. And you can, if you do a shutdown, but while you're restarting it, when you choose restart from the menu, if you hold the shift key while you click on restart, that will get you into a menu that you find some other options, and you dig down and you will find one that says reinstall Windows 10. And that's what you want. And that'll give you a good, fresh starting point for you to be ready.
So get rid of past users' files and stuff like that?
Absolutely. There is an option to either keep the files or get rid of them. You almost certainly want to get rid of them in this case, but you can keep them. But it will also get rid of any malware on there, any misconfigurations, all sorts of craziness, and it'll give you a good known starting point to start over with your computer. You can also, if you have another computer, you can download from Microsoft, you can download to a USB stick, a bootable to reinstall Windows 10 from scratch, but you got to have another computer to get that, and that's a little bit more complicated to get it to boot from USB, but that's another way to go.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Well, hopefully we got some life left on this puppy, and we'll see what's going on.
All right. Yeah. Give it a good clean out. If you don't have a professional tool with you, probably don't. I always wonder about hair dryers, especially if it has a non-heat setting. You know, just blow. I think that's a good way to do it. But make sure you don't put heat on it. No heat on those poor things. All right.
Excellent.
All right.
Hey,
thanks
so
for
much,
calling Battleborn Tech.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye bye.
One of the things that we didn't talk about is too much is the battery inside of the computer. Yes, there is a battery in the computer, at least the better one. Some of the laptop people have skipped on the battery, figuring you'd either have it plugged in or be using the main battery in the laptop. But most computers and most of the better laptops has what's called a CMOS battery inside of it. What it is, a little coin battery, a 2023 usually, that pops in and out. And what that does is maintain the settings of the computer, let it know what to boot from, what order to boot from, what kind of peripherals it has, all sorts of things, including the time and date. So if you get a computer, an old computer that comes up and it says it's 1980 or some other crazy thing, and usually that gives you an error too, you probably need to replace that CMOS battery. And that's something that the user can do. If you get that battery, they only cost, they don't cost hardly anything, a dollar or so. You can get them just about anywhere, and pop that in, and then set the time, and the time will keep going. So that's one of the things, along with the other things to say. Also, there's very many YouTube channels about putting together and keeping up old computers. What you'll be looking for is for vintage gamer channels. And as their sideline, they often will build or give you tips on keeping those old computers running.
Yeah, there's even people out there still buying the old Commodore 64 from the late 80s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's quite the market on that. If you are interested, you can take a look at one of the auction sites on eBay, or just search for one of the vintage computers on one of the search engines. You'll find there's quite a market for them. And they're selling for not quite as much as they did when they were new, but still quite a bit. Hey, Joe, we got some news. I know that some people are maybe Zoomed out, if you will, but if you're still doing Zoom, and God bless you if you are, and keeping those people in distance close, one of the things, there is an important update coming out. There's always an update, but this is the update to end all updates. Yay! Zoom apps are finally getting the ability to update automatically. Yay! So it was such a headache to make sure everybody was on the call, had the same version, so that people could help each other and give directions and say where the buttons were on the screen. And now with 5.8.6, you can get the version that automatically updates from here on out. It's very polite about it. It asks you when you start and when you leave, if you want an update, but it does check. So make sure this one last time to go into Zoom and get your update, so you won't have to update anymore.
Well, it is really handy to have Zoom all be the same version, because I've been on so many Zoom calls where you're trying to help somebody out and you're like, hey, click on this for echo cancellation. And they're coming back and saying, I don't have that. So yeah, getting the versions lined up will be a good thing. So we've got another phone call here. This is Brian, and he's wondering about Word version recovery.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Carson City.
All I got right, a question. Brian, what's going on? Okay, you got a question? Well, go right into it.
Yeah. I have this Word document that I use, and I open it up, and it's kind of my schedule for the week. And I work my schedule out, write it all out, type it up on the schedule, and then I save it. And then at the end of the week, I'll print it out and put it in my book so that I know what I've did that whole week. Well, I retyped over it, and I guess I didn't print it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Can I retrieve it somewhere?
Well, here's one thing. Sounds like you're not using Apple. You're not an Apple person, are you?
No.
Okay, well, Apple has Time Machine, and what that does, if you got that set up, it does save the history of your files. Really nice for Apple folks. Any chance that you're using an online backup service, Carbonite, something like that?
But it's only like at the end of the week.
Are you sure? Because if it's Carbonite or an online, most of them just run continuously. Is there a little icon down in the bottom right? Do you have
not
a little dot? Do you have a little dot on your file icons?
Okay.
Little color dot.
Okay, no. I know what you're talking about. No, I do not have it on this computer. I do have it on my home computer.
You could consider that. And now we're looking in emails and other stuff and low probability of things. But if you have a Microsoft 365 subscription and you're saving to OneDrive, which is they really encourage you to do, it's almost difficult not to. Is that possible? You're using OneDrive?
OneDrive is on my computer. I have to sign in, so no, I know it wasn't.
Okay, all right.
So it sounds like I need to get my backup plan better.
And I do want to point out that a lot of folks have gotten stumbled in or just given up because resistance is futile to Microsoft 365 subscription, and along comes OneDrive, which is a really good deal for online storage space with that. It kind of throws it in a terabyte free. But if you just say run with the defaults on that, it will save to OneDrive. And if you are doing that, one of the benefits besides being able to get it from wherever you can sign in is that you can also get previous versions of the file. OneDrive actually does versioning with Word. Not a big advertisement, but they do that. So, you know, you don't have to save everything to OneDrive, but if you do have that Microsoft 365 subscription for Word and you do have OneDrive, sounds like you do, maybe you want to keep that schedule on your OneDrive account, and that way it'd be at work, it'd be at home, it could be on your phone, and then if, you overwrite, you can turn back the clock and get a previous version. So that's a big plus of using the default.
And on my phone.
Yeah. OneDrive. Okay. The idea is OneDrive can go in everywhere, and Word does have phone. Of course, you have to have a phone that runs it and all that good stuff. But yeah, right. That's.
Well, it sounds like I need to check into that program more.
Yeah, that may be a better way. That's like a more proactive than backup, because sometimes we don't always do the backup. And then, yeah. What if you got Doozy or any of the online services, you can think about, you know, maybe I should do it on my work computer and my home computer. Maybe that'd be a good idea. That might be good. That's really good for versioning and backing up stuff.
So, all right. Well, I don't have any plans tomorrow, so maybe that'd be a good thing to do. So,
well, because you've erased your schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your
thanks.
Schedule's free.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Hey.
All right. Well, I appreciate the help.
Yeah, I guess telling you what you should have done. I don't know if that's helped, but thank you. That's very kind.
All right.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Well, we've all done it. In fact, I did it for this show. I used one set of notes from one week to another and updated between times. And yes, I did save the quote new version over the old version. So I don't have what I actually said last week. So we got some repeats this week. So if you are doing that, and doing that a lot, of course, there are some things you can change. Make sure you change the name before you do anything else. You can even copy it. Before you even open it up to edit it, that might be a best practice for you. But do consider that is one of the unannounced benefits of going up and storing your things on the cloud with Microsoft's provided OneDrive service, in that it does have what's called versioning, in that you can roll back the saves and get a previous version of your file, of your Word file. Not a lot of talk about that. Something to think about if you do a lot of that, if versioning is important to you. Of course, if you're an Apple user, you already know about this because you have Time Machine, and which is a great way that you can set up it to take snapshots, and then you can roll back from there, from the most recent snapshot or from whenever you need to get the old file. Some of the other online services also have that as well. If you got that going, a little bit more cumbersome, but you can get old versions of the file from an online backup service as well. And I'm sure Joe would tell you that if you do your own backups, you can restore a file from your on-premises storage as well as online.
We got another phone call. This is Pete. And Pete has a question about, he's a computer guy, but even computer guys wonder what kind of machine to get their elderly mother.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey there. My name is Pete, and I'm calling from California, just over the border. Got a quick one for you. Up here in the mountains, I'm kind of like, a lot of people know me as a sort of helper guy. People will call me and say, hey, can you come help me set up my Windows system, or my mom has need for a computer, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And I know I got to jump up and ask a more important question, or at least it's something that for someone who knows a little bit more than me. My mom is asking me, and my mom is like 78 years old, and she's all right with a computer. And
okay.
I'm just kind of torn. She wants a new computer.
Right.
I'm just trying to weigh all the options for – I'd like to get her into something that she can use for kind of office-y kind of work and definitely web surfing. What are the basic specs you would say someone like that should have in a new computer? I mean, I imagine my mom will live another 5 to 10 years. She'll probably just want to pay once. She's on a limited income. Where would you go with that?
Well, it's interesting time for that question, because right now we're at a kind of push you, pull you kind of thing between Microsoft Windows and the manufacturers and computer people, because Microsoft is insisting that apparently to buy pretty current high-end computers to run their new Windows 11. And now that's saying Windows 10 is good for another 3 years, so and maybe beyond that, but that's all we got.
Right.
So that's a hard thing to think. The you got a we used to not pay attention to the processor. We used to just say i7, i3, i5 or whatever and go for it. But yeah, now you have to look further and see the number after the i3, i5, i7. The i5 and i7s, they need to be what they call 8th generation, 9th generation. If you buy a new computer, you're almost certain to get one of the later generations, but you got to pay attention to that. If you want to keep that for 5 years and you're thinking of going in the Windows route with Windows 11, you're going to have to watch that and maybe even bite the bullet and buy Windows 11 now so you know that it's running it and going for 5. So that's something to look for if you're going to seek a new Windows-based computer, that you want to make sure that it's running Windows 11 out of the box right now or that it has the latest processor so that it can be upgraded, because in your time frame, we're going to need to move on. I'd like to suggest something else, though. A lot of folks that have light computer names, if a computer needs, if they're not heavy into a lot of different programs, do some web surfing, maybe some basic word processing, letter writing, that kind of thing, and they're okay with the Google Garden. I really think Chrome OS is a really good choice, especially for those that have to support people that use that.
Right.
With Chrome OS, everything, and you got to have a good solid internet connection. Most people do now, but if you have that and you get a Chrome OS book, it is almost impervious to malware, viruses, scams. People call up and try to get you to do something on the computer. Almost impervious. It's really a really because there's not much there now. Most of the power and utility is over at Google servers, and they keep it updated and they keep it protected. And also, what I really like for support people is that since everything is stored on your Google account, which has issues as well, but if you go that way and everything's on your Google account because you're using Chrome OS and you get into some kind of problem, some kind of craziness creeps in there or not going on, you don't worry about it at all. What you do something called a power wash, and it immediately wipes out that computer, resets it to the day it came out of the box. You sign into your Google account, and boom, 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 everything comes down. So you really don't have to spend hours and hours troubleshooting over the phone or what in the world's happened to Windows and what update just bricked it. But what you can do is just, oh, Mom, just do a power wash and sign in again. Of course, keep track of your password. Of course, you want to make sure, I mean, that's your be end and end all. So you want to make sure you got your Google account, a good password, that one that you won't remember or lose, but I often recommend that for folks that need to be connected but don't need to have a live-in tech keeping their Windows up to date, or folks that don't want to try to keep up with Apple's updates and changes. That's sometimes an issue for regular folks, not everybody, not just the older folks. So I take a really good, and some folks are just fine with an iPad because they can move it around, a tablet sort of thing. Now iPads almost require a little home-based computer for support and storage and backup, a mothership computer, but not necessarily. So an iPad might be an option, but I would take a good look at the Chrome OS family computers. You can get that from several manufacturers at several different price points.
If you could get something like that at Costco and Carson, would you say that would probably be an okay starting point? Like, does the stuff they sell, is it pretty generally, you know, roadworthy?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to watch any provider. You would think that the $100 computer probably is not as robust as the $1,000 computer. You'd probably be right. You probably don't want to buy in any store. You don't want to buy the cheapest computer, but you may want to buy a couple steps up. And Chrome OS, not a whole lot to go wrong in the operating system. So yeah, I would think it. You could do that. And also, you know, another thing I talk about is that, you know, if you spend, a low amount on a computer, I talk about this with kids, are you really going to give a child a $1,000 tablet you may want to rethink that. you may want something a little bit cheaper that may not last, but you know, it may be the child, not the quality of the build that gets you. And you may want to gauge how much you want to invest in the computer. So there is a place for the lower price computers that might be subject to stress. And you don't want to be too upset when they break for mysterious or very, very apparent reasons.
Cool. Well, I hear there are big backups on getting computers. I think I'm going to take my mom shopping for Christmas. Instead of getting the thing on Christmas, I think I'm going to just call her up and say, Mom, let's get on the web on my computer and go find that Chromebook. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot and good luck. And give us a call back about how it turns out.
Cool. Yeah, we'll be. Right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, Pete, we gave Pete some options there. The important thing about any helping anybody with their computer is to find out what they need, what they use, and what their use case is, as my son likes to say. Some people are just perfectly fine with a tablet, and I know some of the older people, I can't get that iPad out of their hand or Samsung tablet out of the hand. They say, that's all I need, and they don't want to hear about any other thing. A good next step is what we talked about with the Chromebooks and their ilk that are made by several different manufacturers. Don't think that you're going to be buying from Google if you buy a Chromebook. Chrome is an operating system, and like Windows, it runs on several different brands of computers. So you can pick the one that you're comfortable with at a good price point. They range all over depending on their capability, speed, and optional storage. So try to think more than just the old laptop or desktop. Think about what the person uses it. Some people, a phone is fine for them too, although 70 plus, probably maybe a tablet, Chromebook would be better than that.
Yeah, it depends. If your elderly parents are into Warhammer or Fortnite or something, hey, they're out there. Well, then you need to get them a hardcore computer. But they probably already know that. If they're hardcore gamers going onto the forums and tossing shade at the youngins, and they pretty much know what kind of machine they need already. All right, just a quick touch on Faraday cages. We mentioned it last week. A Faraday cage is basically a metal mesh surrounding a room or a device, something that blocks radio waves. And depending on the size of the holes in your cage, it depends on what frequencies can get through. Now, if you've ever walked into a metal commercial building like a warehouse and you get no more cell coverage because you walked into the building, well, you're inside a Faraday cage. It's a metal building. You're surrounded by metal and the signals can't get in or out. Yeah, you're going to run into problems trying to get the Wi-Fi, which is three or four rooms down. So just keep in mind that a metal cage around any radio device is going to interfere with radio signals.
If you're inside a Faraday cage, you can help get out by bringing in some kind of transmitter inside the cage. So an access point, a Pico transmitter, all sorts of things. If you have no other choice, you can bring the network to you, as you will, inside the cage.
Christy? I think that's going to wrap us up for this week.
Yeah, the Battleborn theme is coming up behind us, and then by Breakmaster Cylinder, and it means it's time to rejoin the front lines until next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific. Until then, Joe and I are going to get back into our Faraday cage, and the only way in is through our phone line. That's right, 775-241-3571 gets through the cage and to Battleborn Tech. So until next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, battle that tech and give us a call. 775-241-3571.